This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat, brought to you from our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. My man, Randy Green, who I'm excited about having lunch with tomorrow at our favorite place, Adam Smokehouse. I'm just going to throw all the names in here. But as always, the Patio Studios is where we do the show from, and we want to thank them for their continued support, the original party place for Cardinal baseball. But Randy Green's ready to roll for you if you're having issues, especially with your heating. They have the heating and cooling division as one of the arms under InnovativeCompanies.com. With all this weather that we're having, make sure you give them a call. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's the name you can know and trust. InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, folks, it's basically the week before winter warm-up. It's kind of a real kickoff for Cardinal fans. It really tells you that we're getting close. Not that we all don't know we're getting close to pitchers and catchers reporting, but that day inches ever so closely. People get excited. This is a great weekend for Cardinal baseball. Hopefully the weather won't play too much of a havoc game with it, but it could. But I know excited about coming in for his first Cardinal winter warm-up to be a part of all the great festivities, and I know he's excited about some of the stuff they're going to do. And if you know this man at all, with the things that they do and with the caravan and the way they go out and meet people and kids and Cardinal fans everywhere, he's going to fit right in. And that's the one, the only, Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline joining the show. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? What's going on, Jimbo?
You got to be excited for this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Like I told you earlier, I don't know what to expect. I've never been in it. Never, but I surely have been told that is a great moment for the fans to interact with the players. It is awesome. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see you guys out there and hanging out with you guys. I'm really excited. I really am.
Well, I know you're gonna, like, I've been to them. I know what they've become. If they've grown in popularity for Cardinal fans everywhere, the type of guy you are, the type of fan you are, and what has endeared you to a lot of Cardinal fans, you're going to enjoy it very much. It is getting to be that time where, as a former player and now a guy still involved in the game, you know, with helping with players and helping with GMs and all the different things that you do throughout the wonderful game of baseball, and now that you're an announcer, you really got to start getting revved up for it. I mean, we're under a month away from when catchers and pitchers report. You were a catcher, so you know you were always one of the first guys to get rolling down at spring training. You know, for us as Cardinal fans, as I look at this, I look at our team. We got a lot of players, and I believe we improved our team. But I got to tell you, I heard something today that's really, I mean, and the way this thing has worked to this point has really got me just thinking, what are we doing? The rumor is, and again, they're just rumors, okay? They're just rumors. But what else are we going to talk about, right? And it seems like a confirmed rumor because this isn't coming from some guy on social media. I mean, this is all over, and it's a headline on ESPN. It's evidently the White Sox have offered Machado an 8-year deal. Okay. And from what we understand, it looks like, judging by the moves that the Yankees made, that they're out. I don't know how, if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, given your situation, that if the years are 8 years, not 10, we're not even talking about the last 2 years of a 10-year contract, which everybody thought would be an issue. How in the world, if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, are you not in it? And to make matters worse, I hear today Mark Saxon tell Bernie Miklas that the St. Louis Cardinals have acknowledged that they're going to be connected to these two guys because if they want them, they can go get them. But they believe that these two guys would have to want to play here, which tells me what they mean is they're not going to pay top dollar for them. That I don't understand that. I don't understand. If the years are down and the total money is down, the St. Louis Cardinals have done nothing but talk about how they have this payroll muscle and they can flex it, and they were going to do so this year. And basically, while I think they've improved the team, which is the ultimate goal, they didn't use payroll muscle to do so. They made a nice trade, which I like, but for a one-year guy that I'm assuming they may sign. But if the years have dropped to 8 years for Manny Machado, let's say 8 years, $200 million, $240 million, whatever it is, $30 million a year, how are the Cardinals not in on this? I don't understand it.
I know, buddy. Me too. They should be in as a me from a fan perspective. They should be in. All in with this guy, and I don't know, but to have another perspective is the Cardinals, right? To have a guy come in that he don't want to be in here and he just taking the money is so risky. Look at what happened to Josh Hamilton in the Angels. The first thing that he said when his contract was done, which it was 4 years, 25, or 5 years, 25, something like that. And he didn't play more than 60 games for that organization, or more than 50. And then the first thing that came out of his mouth was, well, I didn't want to go there anyways. I was never comfortable there. That was not my place. Well, you freaking asswipe. When they offer you $125 million, what's your place? See what I mean?
Yeah.
So in the owner's head and in the you know, Mo and Gersh and all those guys, they have that in their head. I'm not gonna bring a guy. I'm not gonna pay $250 million freaking dollars out of my pocket for 8 years to bring in a guy that doesn't want to be here. I mean, that I understand their part. If you ask me, I understand. Can they do it? Yeah, they can do it. They have the money, like we always said. Yes, they can do it. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But, dude, to pay $250 million to a guy, to one guy, to come over here and play, and you know in your heart he doesn't want to be here, it will be hell. It will be hell for the clubhouse. It will be hell for everybody outside. It will be hell for the media. It will be hell for everybody because he doesn't want to be there. Now, if he wants to be here in the Cardinals, heck yeah, do it. Why not? I will go for it. Machado is a game changer. Machado can win a game. He plays every day, by the way. He sure doesn't take days off. So he can make a change. He can make a change on your team on an everyday basis. Counting the defense, he can save a game in late innings with the defense, and he can win the game with the bat. So think about it. Think about it. A lot of teams are willing to pay $30 million to a pitcher, which I don't have any problems. I'm a player. They're a player. I love it. They're willing to pay $30 million to a pitcher that only throws 35 starts. Think about it. They're all only involved in 35 out of 162 games on the season. And the owners are willing to pay $30 million or $35 million to a pitcher. And then a shortstop come along that has the potential, or whatever our favorite word is, to help us on 150 at least, 150, they can make a difference on your team, and you're not willing to pay $30 million to a guy. See how twisted that is?
Yeah.
See how bad that is?
You know.
How in the world is that happening into our baseball? So, with that being said, Jimbo, do I want them to go sign Machado? Heck yeah, I want them to go sign Machado. I mean, if they can sign a pitcher for $30 million, they can sign a shortstop or an outfielder or Stanton or Harper or whoever. They can sign him for $200, $300 million. Why not? They're going to make a difference for 162 games at least. They can come pinch hit whenever they're not starting. Come on, man. There's no brainer.
Well, you know, my thing is this, I do want to say this. There are conflicting reports. One guy is reporting that the White Sox made a 7-year offer like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and they have not budged from that 7-year offer. Another guy has reported from ESPN that it's an 8-year offer. That means maybe it's a 7-year with an option year that starts in based on incentives or whatever. But I guess my point is, I'm not quite sure how if you've defended the Cardinals from the beginning about this and you said, look, you know what, it's hard for me to be mad at the Cardinals if they don't want to sign a guy for 10 years. That's 10 years. Okay. Whether I agree with it or not is not important. If that was your stance, I could say, okay. If your stance was, because I'm not giving anybody $300 or $400 million, it's all risky. If that was your stance, while I disagree with it, I could say, okay, I understand it. I understand it. But it's almost like it's coming back to us. Like, hey, all these problems that you talked about, don't have a face of the franchise going forward, don't have that elite guy that you can count on down there, don't have this, don't have that. All of a sudden now we're answering those questions by the way the market is shook out and we're nowhere to be found. The statement is, well, they would have to really want to play here. Well, I can promise you this. Both guys that are out there right now, if they have a 7-year contract or an 8-year contract, both of them, let's say White Sox and Phillies withstanding, because that's the two clubs that supposedly are the number ones to get both of those guys. If you offered them the same years and offered them $10 more million, both of them would sign here. I promise you that. I promise you that. Because here's the deal. If they would sign there over somebody else, especially a team that is better than both, in my opinion, okay, if they would sign there for what they're getting, they would have done it already. So I promise you, if you offer $10 million than what they're getting in the same year, they're going to sign here. So I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm not buying it. It doesn't mean that I don't think the Cardinals would be better this year. This is a complete different conversation. This is, let me tell you something. This is the conversation that you have to have if you want to say, you know what? If you're out there and you're that guy going, I would rather wait on Arenado, or what about this guy, or what about that guy, you are spinning your wheels and banging your head against the wall. And let me tell you why I know, because I've done it. Okay? I've looked at it from a business standpoint. Not even a performance standpoint. If you want to tell me nobody's worth $30 million, $40 million a year, that's fine. If you want to give me the teacher argument and the doctor argument, that's fine too. Totally different than this conversation. I don't care about that. I will never care about that. They're baseball players, they're entertainers, and they're in the entertainment world, and there's a bunch of money in the entertainment world, and the owners are making more than all of them. So I don't care.
Jimbo, if the owners are willing to pay a pitcher, like I said, I don't have anything against it. Obviously, that's their choice. But if the owners are willing to pay a pitcher $30 million, don't you think it would be easier for me as an owner to pay a shortstop, an outfielder, a catcher, that kind of money? I mean, it would be a lot easier for an owner to say, here, Machado, get $30 million. You know what I'm saying? Because Machado can make a difference on 160 to 102, from 150 to 162 games. He can make a freaking difference. on the starting pitcher is 35 games if he stays healthy. If he doesn't stay healthy, now you got to take 2 weeks off, which is like five starts or six starts. Now it's instead of 35 starts, you get him for 30 million, 29, 28 starts. You know what I'm saying? And the owners are willing to pay 30 freaking million dollars to those guys, which is okay. Once again, I don't care. It's okay. I'm happy for the pitchers. But wouldn't you believe that they were happy to pay $30 million on a freaking shortstop, second base, somebody, first baseman, like Pujols, when Pujols was at his 10th year here? Why not pay Pujols $30 million a year when Pujols was the freaking best guy and Pujols was a 130 RBI guy? He was a 300 hitter, and he was a 40 home run, 30 home run guy. You know what I'm saying? So if they're willing to pay $30 million to a pitcher for 35 games into your 162 games, why not pay $30 million to somebody like Machado, Harper, or somebody? I would rather do that too. I mean, these guys can make a difference in many other games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the whole thing is listen, I love the Cardinals. I want them to do well. I'm not going to bitch and moan and about the team that's on the field, but like, you have a real chance to take your team to a complete another stratosphere here. And I mean, they wouldn't have a hard time trading Jericho, in my opinion, and free up some money.
They're going to go after Gonzalez, Jimbo. Marwin Gonzalez. That'll be your guy. You watch.
How many guys can you have like that on the team?
Well, you don't have a third baseman. Will be if you get him though. Don't go away from it.
If you get him, Jerko's traded. If you get him, they're going to trade Jericho. They have to.
Or even Long. So whoever. But don't go away from Gonzalez yet. Gonzalez is a good piece. It's not Machado. It's not Harper. I know that, but he's a great piece to have. Remember, like you said, how many of him we're going to have? He can fill in third base. He can fill in second. He could actually fill in short. He's a good defender, and he can fill in the outfield. What the heck? First base. He plays everywhere. You need a guy like that, and he produces. He's not just anybody that can play positions and doesn't produce. So don't go away from that guy either. So Marwin Gonzalez might be in our list. It's not Harper. It's not Machado, which I get your point. Obviously, I'd rather have one of those two guys. But don't go away from this kid either. Sorry, I didn't mean to tell you about that guy.
No, I've seen the rumors. They don't make any sense to me. I mean, I like Marwin Gonzalez. I don't have an issue with Marwin Gonzalez, but...
Well, why doesn't it make sense to you in your head?
Well, we've got a young Yaro Munoz who that's already on the roster. I don't know.
I know. But he's way better than him, though. Proven.
I would guess.
Munoz is only one year.
Yeah.
Less than a year.
Yeah. I no issue. I if they signed him, I wouldn't be up in arms. But it's like, you know, we're rehashing what we already have. I'm looking for an impact move. And again, to your point, he's not. He's not a bad player. It isn't that it wouldn't make us more versatile. It isn't that we wouldn't be able to do more things and all this kind of stuff. It's just that's not like, I don't know. Like it'd be down on my list. And again, I'm just a fan.
But we're already there though. We're already there without Machado and Harper. We're already almost there. What Machado and Harper are gonna or can do to us is get us, like you said, to the universe, right? To yep. out there, yep. to space. But actually, we're right there, man. Well, I like this team right now. If you cannot add Machado or Harper because of the money and years, I'm good if they add Gonzalez, man. I mean, that's an upgrade over Wong. That's an upgrade over Munoz. That's a way up upgrade over Jericho, which I like too. But that's three guys right there. I told you, over Garcia, Greg Garcia. I mean, that's an upgrade over all those guys. And to have him being part of us and he can play anywhere, you know, I mean, that's a freaking great signing if they can have it, though. I mean, I get it. I me too. I would love to have Machado in a Cardinal uniform and or Harper. I mean, I would love to see that. But if it doesn't happen and they end up getting this kid, Gonzalez or somebody else, you know, that like that, man, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it. I'm ready to go. I think they need a revisit to the starting rotation. I think they need to go out to the bullpen and see what they can do, which they have options in the bullpen now. That Miller signing was awesome. So I really think now they need to focus on maybe Machado, maybe Harper, and if not, the next best guy out there, because Cincinnati got better. Pittsburgh is going to fight you. The Cubs, Milwaukee, I mean, the Reds got better. I think, at least in the lineup, so I think they better put their heads together if they don't want to find themselves in the fourth year, not in the playoff, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and I'm not saying I've said it again. I'll say it forever. Yeah, I still think they have gotten better. There's no argument here on that. I don't not think they've gotten better. That's not, you know, that's not my issue here. I mean, I think they have. It's just I'm looking at the thing going, you know, why in the world would? Because I'm going to bring this up, okay. I get it, and I'm okay with, like I said, Andrew Miller I thought was a good signing. No issue here whatsoever, okay? But our bullpen has been awful for 2 years. It hasn't been great for a while, but definitely the last 2 years, number one issue, okay? Number one issue. Now, they did revamp it and make some changes. But some of the changes that you made were by default because you just guys, you know, were unusable. Those guys are still here. I mean, are you telling me yep. that you're excited about Luke Gregerson being quote unquote healthy this year? Brett Cecil's still there. Same thing. Are you going to tell me you're going to hang your hat on Dominic Leone being healthy this year? I mean, that's where I'm at on this. If I was going to focus on an area to try to get better. I mean, there are some guys out there that due to this market, and let's be honest with ourselves, right? Due to this market, there are some guys out there that are available. You brought up a guy that I think of all the major league free agents that are realistic for the Cardinals. Would Ottavino be nice? Yes. Would Kimbrel be nice? Yes. I don't think either of them are happening. I think, you know, you start going down the list, some names that interest me, Brad Brock, Nick Vincent, interesting names. Sergio Romo, an up and down guy. I'm not sure what you get there, but not bad. But the one guy, and you mentioned him, that I would be interested in the Cardinals signing is Sean Kelly. That's the one guy that I'm looking at here that's still sitting there. Haven't heard his name mentioned one time this offseason in any article, in anything. He's just sitting there, just going through the motions, waiting to figure out where he's going to sign. And it just, it's got,
oh, he, they need to sign him and we are set to go, man. I mean, if they go out and sign him, I believe, Jimbo, I believe they're done. I think really they're done. They might sign one guy here and there, but they might be done. They're just waiting and maybe to run it out, but I think they might be done. They don't even understand how good the team will be with a Sean Kelly on the bullpen or with a Kimbrel being the closer. I'm not talking the money, right? I'm not talking the money side of it. I'm telling with them here already signed, they don't understand how good the Cardinals could be with those guys and how good and how we need them, Jimbo. We need the power bullpen. We need it. It's not like, okay, maybe we can go around like last year and maybe we can win more games. No, man, we need a solid bullpen. We need an almost perfect bullpen to beat up on those guys, man. You know what's coming, man? You know what's coming? The Central Division is one of the toughest divisions there is. The Cardinals need to know that. The Cardinals have teams already on top of them. We're not the ones on top, and somebody's coming after us. We are going after them, and there's two teams. And the other two teams are not too shabby either. So they need to understand that, Jimbo. They need to understand we need a powerhouse bullpen. We need a powerhouse team. I mean, I can go to war right now because we will have if Carpenter can pick it up like he did for a couple months of the year last year, if he can keep up that thing for a steady year, and then we got if they let Jose Martinez play like he did this year and he has these kind of numbers again, and then we have Ozuna, and then we have Goldsmith, and then we have Yadi in the back end getting those RBIs in the clutch. I mean, come on, man. Come on, I can go to war with that team, but we need a powerhouse in the bullpen because if these pitchers right now are going to end up throwing five innings and that's it, we need the power bullpen. That's the reason why we're going to win, the bullpen. If we don't have that, Jimbo, we are not winning. We're not going to have the second to last or last bullpen in the league and win the division. That's not going to happen. We can have the best bullpen and suck in hitting, and we still could win the division. But the other way around ain't happening. So, man, we need that so bad, and I hope they open their eyes and realize.
On that note, as I look at it, and that's kind of where I'm at with, like, the whole Marwin Gonzalez thing. I don't mind getting better no matter where it's at, but – as I look at the free agent list, and with the exception of just a couple of guys, I mean, these are all 1 and 2 year deals, a couple of 3 year deals sprinkled in here. I just don't know how you look at yourself and call yourself a really good baseball person and don't see that you have an opportunity to do some stuff here and get better. Now, here's my thing. And I'll say this, and they can do whatever they want. If they want to take the stance, which, listen, they're the experts, right? We're just fans. If they want to take the stance of, well, we did sign Andrew Miller. You know, you can keep thinking whatever you want, but Luke Gregerson's has been a really good pitcher in this league, and, you know, he's going to be healthy this year, and Dominic Leone will be healthy. And so, basically, if one of those two guys works out, that's an addition. So, hopefully, just one of those two works out. And then you take on the young guys and the role that they're going to be another year experienced. And, you know, and then we've got a couple of guys that we're excited about that weren't even here last year that we think are going to contribute in Genesis Cabrera, Ryan Helsley. You know, we're going to add all those guys into the mix. And like I've said a couple of times, a bullpen's more than just the 7 or 8 guys. A bullpen, these days in the major leagues, you better have 12 guys and run that shuttle, because you're going to wear these guys out, and that's what they all seem to be doing. So, fine. So, maybe they say, we do look at our 12 as a whole, and we like where we're at. Okay, that's fine. If you want to say, it's proven that the bullpen is so sporadic, it's so tough, if they want to take that stance, I can live with that one. But you brought it up earlier. What I can't live with is a true stud that everybody thought was going to get 10 years, $400 million, $300-something million, whatever, that price tag coming down to a realistic price tag in realistic years, and we're nowhere to be found. Especially after we came right out and said, they said, not me, they said, they know it's a problem. They know they don't have that guy in the system. They know that Yachty's getting older and he'll be gone in soon, and that they need a face. They need to... They have admitted this. They've also admitted they have money. So you tell me. Somebody's lying here. Somebody's talking shit. And I got to tell you, for the St. Louis Cardinals, they may not care. They may laugh about this or whatever. But if they truly care about their fans, they got to be sitting over there in their ivory tower going, man, what are we going to do if Machado signs for 8 years and $240 million? Because, I mean, that's executing your payroll muscle. I mean,
they could have done it.
Yeah.
They
I mean,
done it.
We could have sold
That's
it.
The bottom
yeah.
line.
We could have sold it to our fans. Yeah, we didn't want to go 10 years. Nobody's worth $350 million. We could have sold that to our fans. Now that he didn't get 10 years, he got eight. He didn't get $307 million. He got $240 million, which we were going to take on $250 million of Stanton's for 10 years, and Machado's better. Man, how do we – we're going to get those questions. Somebody better figure out what our answer is. We got to come up with an answer. Okay? And I don't want to hear about Colton Wong. I don't want to hear about Colton Wong. I know he's a really good defender at second base, and I think it's great to watch him play great defense. But there's a lot of people out there a lot smarter than all of us that'll tell you that of all the positions, especially with the shifts, you do not have to be a great defender at second base to make a difference. What we need is a consistent hitter, and he has not been that. Now, I'm okay with
Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Indians plays everywhere. He has no position. And he still does okay. Ben Zobrist, an old Ben Zobrist, by the way, because he's older for baseball, right?
Yep.
Almost 40. He's older for baseball. And he does okay to me. And then you have Schwarber in left field. And they do good. They do okay. They don't mind him out there. You see what I'm saying? This baseball these days, Jimbo, is changing big time. They don't care about the defensive anymore. They don't care about guys that play defense and don't hit. They want guys to play defense and hit. But if they don't play defense, they don't give a crap. They want people to hit. That's what they're playing out there. Look at Jose Martinez. Everybody's dogging his defense. Well, he's not your greatest outfield, but I'll tell you what. He's way better than Schwarber. He might not be smarter outfield out there than Zobrist because Zobrist has more years of experience, but he's still a little better than him. And then you put him at first, and then he cannot catch the bat throws. What the hell? Come on, man! But he give you so much with the hitting. He give you so more wins with the hitting than he hurt you with the defense. That's why teams are doing that these days because they don't care about the three games that you hurt me on defense. They don't give a crap. They want to hold those 20 games that you win me with the bats. That's what I want.
Well,
so I don't see why is it so big deal about having a guy like Wong at second base. Obviously, it's a help to have him at second, Jimbo. It's a big help because he's awesome there. He
sure.
improves so much.
Absolutely.
But he needs to hit because we are in a division. We already have two teams ahead of us.
People need to take a look at baseball and what they've done with it. Okay, everybody wants to say, oh, the Milwaukee Brewers once again we're behind. Okay, you know what Milwaukee thinks of the position at second base? You know how little they think of that position? They took Travis Shaw. They went ahead and said,
yeah.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to trade for Moustakas. We're going to do that. And we're going to move Travis Shaw to second base.
Seriously.
Yeah. The L.A. Dodgers, they just would roll somebody different out to play second base all the time. All these teams do
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
The Houston Astros, who everybody loves, when Altuve was hurt. Remember when he was hurt? They got their first baseman playing second base. They got Gonzalez playing second. Who's an outfielder? Who's an infielder? My point is, with this shift, now, Daniel Murphy plays second base for Pete's sakes, right? Listen, the issue here is this. I watched something, I don't know, a few days ago. They were showing a lot of these great plays Wong makes. Do those guys make those plays? Probably not. But they make the majority of the plays that you get at second base. You could argue with me about this all day long. The St. Louis Cardinals are the ones that aren't committed to him. You never hear anything about him from them, ever.
But, Jimbo, to your point right there of Wong making a place and nobody else can make it, I get that. But can Wong win the game with the hit? Maybe 5 times a year or 10 times, let's say that number. I don't know how many. Maybe he did more. But I'm just giving you an example And I don't like to use our players because people will say I love Wong. I love Colton Wong. But what I was saying was, yes, he can make a difference on the defense, but he doesn't make a difference as much on the offense. Where we need it most is the offense, because we can win more games with the offense than with him on the defense. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I agree.
That's what I'm trying to say to people. It's like, yes, we have a great defender, and it's a plus. Believe me, yes, it's awesome. I love it. I love we have a great defender. I love that, Jimbo, for real. I really love it. But do we have the hitter from that defender? No. There's only a few Javi Baez out there. There's only a few Lindor out there.
Right.
But I'd rather have a guy that can make a difference in both sides, or be okay, like a Ben Silvers is okay at second base, like guys like that. But then they make a difference on your hitting, on your RBIs, on your runs, on your getting on base and all that stuff. That's the what we need to see here with the Cardinals, you know? I love my Cardinal. I really do. And when Yadi leaves, doesn't mean I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a Cardinal fan forever. I love the Cardinal. I really do. I got a lot of people there that I love. They're big, big friends. And I love the Cardinals. But they need to see it division. As the division winners. They don't need to be thinking wild card, oh, we made it. No. We need to win against Milwaukee. We need to win against the Cubs, at least these two teams for now. We got to beat them. How are we going to beat them? We got to build a powerhouse bullpen. We got to build somebody out there. And like you said, if Machado comes up with a good price, I wouldn't be afraid to get him, because I want my team to go over the top, not stay chasing guys and miss the playoff for the fourth time. I don't want that. I want my team to be up there. So they better be smart. They better be have their eyes wide open to before you find yourself on a fourth year no playoff, man.
Yeah, to me, and again, as I look at it, I'm just trying to be really like open to all the different scenarios that we could have that could fix this thing. Let me say it again. I'm not against having Colton Wong on our baseball team and starting at second base for us. I'm not against that.
We are not against it.
But I thought I saw a great point the other day about Colton Wong, that, and I've made this before. That's probably why I thought it was a great point, because I've said it. Doesn't mean I'm right. I just the reason it probably stood out to me when I saw it is because I've made this point time and time and time again. Colton Wong is the kind of guy that you really like to have on your team if, like, for instance, he would have been a really good player in the 2000s for the Cardinals, okay? Because we had guys that were not question marks up and down the lineup. Okay? You can live with that. You can live with the wondering of what you're going to get from him offensively and if he's going to stay healthy. If you're really solid at five positions, six positions, the Cardinals are not. And I know everybody wants to assume Harrison Bader's going to be a stud. Guys, let him play for a couple years before we go anointing him to be some sort of superstar. Even a good player, okay? We have no idea what we're going to get out. We don't know who's going to play right field. We don't know what we're going to get there, okay? I know everybody's in love with Paul DeJong. Once again, I'm going to have to see a lot more consistency out of Paul DeJong, especially at the plate where everybody just assumes he's going to hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, and that's when you're going to have to find yourself and open your eyes really, really wide. That's when you're really going to have to open your eyes really wide, Jimbo, and find yourself on Marwin Gonzalez and all these guys that you have him in the bench. Maybe you don't start him. Maybe you don't do whatever. But those little guys that it could help your team when we don't know how Bader's going to be. We don't know how Colton Wong even. We don't know how he's going to be. We don't know how Paul DeJong is going to be. That's why those signings are even more important. Because if you have a slow start Bader, slow start DeJong or Colton Wong, you have a guy like Marwin Gonzalez on your team who could really, really help you, man. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it might not be Machado, the guy who changed your team around. Might not be Harper. It might be in the long run for your face of the team and whatever you want to call it. But that might not be your championship team, man. Not because you signed him. You're going to win, you know?
Yeah. I've said this 1,000 times over. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And in the end, the job for everyone over at, you know, over in St. Louis there at Busch Stadium is to put a winning team on the field. Let me rephrase that. We would like to believe that the number one job over there is putting a winning team on the field that has a chance to win a World Series every year. I'm not quite so sure that everybody believes that that's the case over there anymore, and by their own admission. You know, we want to run a really good business over here that makes a lot of money first. And I'm sure that they would say, well, yes and no, we think we can do both. And I think our track record over the last however many years would say, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, no, I understand that. You guys had an unbelievable, 15-year run, okay, where great 15-year run of, you know, never missing the playoffs. I think they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, once or twice, or whatever it was. They were in the mix almost every year, even the years they weren't in, blah, blah, blah. But we're on a bad trend here. And see, to me, okay, and I like some of the stuff they have done, no doubt about it. But to me, up until this year, and I will say that if you look at the roster now, by simply adding in a Paul Goldschmidt and an Andrew Miller, if they perform like you would expect them to perform, Andrew Miller, especially if he's healthy. If you look at that roster, now all of a sudden you start having some guys that you look at and you start feeling really warm and fuzzy about that you didn't have that feeling the last couple of years, in my opinion. So if addressing the roster is the biggest issue, which I think it has been, I think they've tried to do that. I just think, to be honest with you, that we're still like that. I think it's one more. I think it's like, okay, it's like going to a steak place and ordering a hamburger. I came to the steak place. It's great, and I'm sure the hamburger's really nice. But God darn it, let's do this thing and get the filet mignon or the strip. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I think so. But if they don't do it, you know, it's hard for us not to be happy with what they've done. Give them credit for what they've done. I'll be ecstatic, man. I'll be so ecstatic that if they get one of these two guys, man, that would be awesome for our club. But if we don't, man, let's go to battle. Let's go to battle with one more bullpen guy, or maybe they have somebody under their sleeve that we haven't even heard of it in the minor leagues, like the names we mentioned. So, but let's go to war with this guy. We're still good right now. It's just that guy will make a big, huge difference in our club, you know, or any of those two guys.
Here we are again, second year in a row. We're, you know, catchers and pitchers reporting is inching ever so closer. We still have all these players out there, some really good ones, still sitting there. You know, you got to believe there's got to be some movement this week. I mean, I know that guys like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Craig Kimbrell and Adam Ottavino, I know those guys are sitting there. There's probably a part of them going, I know I'm going to be somewhere here in the next 30 days, and right now I'm just going to finish my routine. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep working out. I'm going to keep hitting. My agent's taking care of it. I'm meeting with people. I'm going to be a rich, I'm going to be a rich man here soon, and it'll take care of itself. You know, all of those guys I just mentioned, they're all going to be some of them a whole lot richer soon, some of them a lot richer soon. So I'm sure that's the case there, but. Boy, there's some other players out there that it's pretty apparent to me are the backup plans for guys that, you know, for these guys. But some of them aren't in the same category. I don't know. Is it a money thing? Is it if we spend this money, we're out on these other guys? But then I look at it and say, if you're to believe the reports, there's only a couple of teams even in on these two big spending guys. So what's the issue here? What, like with all these relievers, what's the issue? I mean, are there more people in on Kimbrel and Ottavino than we think? Because, you know, are there teams that have just basically they have no chance of winning, so they're not interested in even signing some of these guys to one-year deals? It perplexes me, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. I think it's gonna work that way. I think the market is working slow. A lot of owners are being more hesitant than others. You know, a lot of them are asking. Are asking themselves how and if they should do this. So that's why you see the market real slow. Remember, Jimbo, not because the free agents are out there, that means you can sign them. You have invest in so many other players through the minor leagues that if you can get that in your team, in a minor league in your team, you're saving a bunch of money in free agency. That's what the whole point is. So they have that to think about. Like if Andrew Miller came in, they know they're losing one guy to the 40 men, maybe a rule five or something like that, you know? So if you sign Paul Goldschmidt, Jose Martinez needed to be traded. That's the first thing they said. And we lose that guy, even though Martinez wasn't from our organization. But you saw Patrick Wisdom being gone. You saw guys on the trades. If we got Machado and all those guys, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be Paul DeJong maybe moving away from the Cardinals, and he was from the organization. So you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's what the organizations are thinking. They don't want to give up. They don't want to do things to the organization. They don't want to hurt the organization. And that's why you see more and more people hesitant, you know, to sign these guys, because they have they believe they have their own guys, which makes it really crazy to believe, but that's what they do believe, you know?
Yeah, and I can go with you on that to a point. But the St. Louis Cardinals have a couple guys on their 40-man roster that, I mean, to me, it's like they're logical guys that are going to go bye-bye. I mean, Tyler Webb is on their 40-man roster, okay? I don't know how realistic it is that he sticks on the 40-man roster. Everybody just assumes that a guy like that is a realistic, you know, see-you-later type guy. This Lane Thomas, Justin Wilson, this Drew Robinson. I mean, these are all guys that are on the fringe on a 40-man that you look at, and you just – there's not one thing that tells me that they're like guys that you don't make an impactful move on. Chasen Shreve's in that boat for me. Lots of guys on the 40-man that, if you want to make that argument for me, can go. To improve your team, of course. We already know that they're going to have to move one guy because once spring training's over, they're going to have to add Francisco Peña to the 40-man. So we already know one of these names will not be here. We know that. If they add another player that's a major league type player, we know another guy would go. Now, does that mean that, you know, everybody wonders why the St. Louis Cardinals and other teams do this? Well, because you get to go through all of spring training and, you know, unfortunately, you have guys that get hurt and you put them on the 60-day DL and you can fill their spot. I mean, you can do all kinds of things with the 40-man roster. So, you know, sometimes it takes care of itself.
Yes, but the real winners on bullpen, like we're talking about, right?
Yep.
Or on phone, I'm sorry. The real winners teams are not afraid of letting go of people of your own organization, right?
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
The winners, the guys who, the Dodgers, for example, is a big example there. The Dodgers are not afraid of letting go their biggest prospects because they want to win this year. The Yankees are in the same boat. They build these prospects to a time where they're in AAA, AA, and guess what? That prospect's going to make me get somebody that I need in the bullpen. You see what I'm saying? They're not afraid of losing them. The Cardinals, to me, are more attached to their players. If the Cardinals players grew up with the Cardinals, they're really hesitant. They're really always hesitant to trade them. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Let's do this. Let's take a real quick look at this, and I'm just going to run through some names here. These are non-prospects. These are guys on our 40-man roster that I would argue don't belong. Like, we would, like, you can't tell me we can't upgrade these guys. And I don't even mean with anything ridiculous. I'm not even talking about, yeah, well, if you want to add Manny Machado or Craig Kimbrell, okay? I mean, they could upgrade these on the 40-man roster. So I'm going to start with Brett Cecil. He's on the 40-man. Okay, we all know that, okay? He's not a prospect. So, you know, he's on the 40-man. Luke Gregerson is on your 40-man roster, okay? On your 40-man roster. I know that we didn't get a chance to see the, you know, Dominic Leone from the year before that we were excited about, but there's another guy on your 40-man roster. If you're comfortable about what you're going to get from him, good luck to you. Okay. Chasen Shreve, same thing. Okay. Tyler Webb, same thing. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's five guys on your 40-man that I would argue if they went bye-bye off your 40-man roster and you replaced them with five guys I'd never heard of, your organization doesn't miss a beat. So to replace one or two of them with guys that are proven guys that have helped and can help, I would say would be, in my opinion, pretty realistic if you wanted to be a good baseball team. Edmundo Sosa. I jumped ahead of myself. I went to the prospect thing. Okay, I'm coming back to the 40-man with the rest of the guys. You know, obviously, the hot topic, Dexter Fowler, whatever. I'm not even going to bang on this anymore. I'm tired of it. Whatever. Okay? But again, if he went bye-bye and you didn't even replace him, you would be better for it, in my opinion. So, you know, there's another guy on your 40-man roster. Drew Robinson, the kid that we got from Texas. I don't know what you call him. You can act like he's a prospect, but the reality of it is he's been up in the big leagues now for a couple of years as that utility guy, and I'm unimpressed. But maybe, who knows, what that could be a depth signing. So let's not even include him. But the reality of it is Brett Cecil, Luke Gregerson, Dominic Leone, Chasen Shreve, Tyler Webb, and Dexter Fowler, all on your 40-man roster. So I got to tell you, our 40-man roster's full, that doesn't jive with me. I don't want to hear that shit because every one of those can go bye-bye and we could replace them tomorrow with, I don't care what you want to replace them with, and we wouldn't miss a beat. And then haven't even gotten into the prospects.
That's how we feel, right?
Yeah.
That's how we, our opinion, and that's how we feel. The sad thing and the bad thing and the worst thing here is that we hope that the organization feel that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
Those are the ones who needs to know and feel the same way we are to make it happen. You know what I'm saying, Jimbo?
Well, I understand that.
If they don't feel that way, I mean, we're gonna be in the hole, it's not going to be pretty. Telling you, it's not going to be pretty. So let's hope that they are listening to us right now and they make sense hearing us and they go for it, man. That's what I'm hoping for. I really am. I really am hoping that they're listening to us and they're going for it, man, because that's what's going to get us better, man. I mean, seriously, I hope somebody's on their ears telling them, hey, listen, this guy could really, really make a difference in our club right here and things like that, you know?
Well, you just said it. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. This guy could make a difference on our club. Anybody from the St. Louis Cardinals, I would challenge any of them to come on this show, any show, doesn't matter to me, and tell me that they believe in their heart that Brett Cecil is going to make a difference on this team this year. Okay? I challenge them to do
that. There's hope. This is another thing I wanted to say, Jimbo. Sorry I interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
I wanted to say something really quick. They were willing to give Randy Shute or Shout, whatever his name is, 4 years, right? 3 and an option or something like that. They were willing to give, right after that, this a 4-year deal on a middle relief left-hander. 4-year deal. You hear that?
Yeah.
2 lefties. And then they feel hesitant to sign Chung Kelly for 2 years. they feel hesitate to sign whoever is in that area, you know, whatever, Joe Kelly for 3 years, or whoever the studs are out there, the guys who are really studs, and they're really hesitant to sign those guys. That's what hurts me in my heart. That's what hurts me deep inside, that we're willing to do these contracts over here, but not the real deal contract that are less than that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I'm with you. That's kind of my point on this. Nobody's going to look at me and say, yeah, Jim, stick to your podcast. You don't know anything about Brett Cecil. I know what I've seen from Brett Cecil the last couple of years, and it's not good. And while I hope Brett Cecil comes out and has a great year, and I'm not saying he can't, okay, great. Brett Cecil's a Cardinal. I'm going to root for Brett Cecil, okay? Pragmatically, though, you can't tell me you can count on Brett Cecil, okay? I'm not saying Luke Gregerson wasn't a good pitcher at one time, but he, Dominic Leone, Chasen Shreve, Tyler Webb, those are the four guys now. That's a completely different argument. There's no real money there. And if you don't make a move because one of those guys, my point on this, I want to be clear on this. If you didn't make a move because Brett Cecil, you're not going to write him a check to go away, and you're not going to write Dexter Fowler a check to go away. If you don't make a move because of that, I can actually understand it. I get it. I don't agree with it because you got plenty of money, but I also understand you don't get a lot of money by writing checks like that. That's how you keep your money. That's how you've built what you've built. I get it. Okay, I get it.
But they have made some bonehead signings.
For sure.
Let's not trick us here.
But
or anybody, Jimbo, because they have done bonehead signings. Like the two of them are just mentioned. They couldn't give a nice reliever on whoever, you know, on the free agency 2 or 3 years, but they went out and got Cecil for 4. And they went out and got Randy Choate 3 and an option. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Well, but they couldn't give the real deal pitchers 2 years well paid. I don't get it. It doesn't add up to my brain. But anyways, that's what we're going through.
Sure. I mean, okay. So the thing is, if you didn't make a move because of the 40 man, then you're not being realistic. Because number one, any one of the four I mentioned that's not a money issue can go bye bye, and you're not going to convince me. There's no way that the St. Louis Cardinals, in my opinion, I have a hard time believing we start the year with Jose Martinez, Jaro Munoz, and Jed Jerko all on the same team. I don't see it. I still think one of them goes. I think Jed Jerko might be an option for somebody as we get. I could be wrong. Maybe they do. But if they do, that's going to be an interesting play.
My big deal is I don't understand how can my best hitter of last year, because a lot of people are talking that Mike Carpenter was our best hitter. I really do not believe that in my heart. He was not our best hitter our year last year. He was a good hitter at times, you know, in a couple months, you know, like maybe 3 or 4 months. He was great. It's okay. No problem. But he wasn't our best hitter all year. Our best hitter, it was Jose Martinez all year. He took care of it when Ozuna was hurting, when Yadi went down, when Carpenter was having the struggles, when Jerko was up and down, when DeJong got hurt in the hand and went down. He didn't came back to be the same after that. Jose Martinez was our best hitter. And I cannot understand and will not understand if Jose Martinez, if we have him, he's not in our lineup. I would not even understand that one. That would even hurt more. And I'm not taking anything away from anybody else. I'm just saying that was our best hitter. He deserves a chance to be in our lineup. He makes our lineup better when he's out there. So I would not understand if he's not out there. For example, for a Fowler that has been struggling for a couple of years, for guys like that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, and I know what you're saying. Jose Martinez was a good hitter.
That would hurt more to me. That would hurt more.
See, I think the argument that people get into about the two is I don't think there's any doubt Matt Carpenter had a more productive season from an overall standpoint because of all the RB, because of the home runs and all that kind of stuff. I get that. The OBP, all that kind of stuff. But to your point, I mean, that was your 300 hitter last year. The guy that was pretty consistent throughout the whole year, to your point, carried the mail when some guys were struggling. People don't look at the term hitter anymore for what it means. They think, oh, well, you're telling me his WAR was better, or you're telling me this. That's not – I know
Carpenter,
that – yeah.
Carpenter, you took those 2 months, or 1 month, I think it was, that one tear, that area, and I'm not taking away the whole thing. Listen to this. You take away half of what he did. Not even the whole thing. Just give him half of what he did in that month and a half or so. And he looks worse in the numbers. He just went on a tear, and I give it to him. He's a great hitter. He just had a hard time most of the year, but he's a great hitter. I like him. I like Mike Carpenter when he's hitting great. I mean, I love him. But the problem here was Martinez did it for almost the whole year, Jimbo. If he had a slow September, was because he was running the bases, hitting like crazy, all for 5 months. Okay? For 5 months, he went on a tear. And then he had a slow September or August, whatever that was. Of course he had a slow one. He was tired of running the bases. He was tired of being on base. So, but you cannot say about that about Carpenter, because Carpenter had one and a half months, really good months. Like, he went on a tear like a crazy dude. But the other month, he was missing. You know what I'm saying? So how are we going to sit here and say he was our best hitter? Our best hitter. I cannot go to sleep with that one in my head. He's a good hitter. I'm not taking anything away from Carp. And he helped us and everything. But I'm just saying he was not our best hitter last year.
As I look at it, again, the whole Jose Martinez, Dexter Fowler thing, I'm looking at the stats right in front of me. So the whole thing is this. The whole Dexter Fowler, Jose Martinez thing to me, if you wanted to not play Jose Martinez because you felt like defensively it was whatever, I mean, we could have a real conversation about that if it wasn't Dexter Fowler. Okay? We could have a real conversation about that.
If it was somebody close to Martinez, no.
That's right. If it was a guy that could hit well, yeah, had some power, his numbers were close to Martinez's, and he was a great outfielder, then I could have that conversation with you. I can't have this conversation where you tell me, yeah, but, you know, the whole yeah, buts, right? Like, yeah, but I love, you know, I listen to you guys, and I know Benji really likes Jose, and Jim, I know that, you know, you're towing that line too, that Jose did this, but, you know, I just, you can't look me in the eye and tell me that guy's good defensively in the outfield. And I'm, you know what my answer is? I'm not going to look you in the eye and tell you he's not good in the outfield. I'm going to look you in the eye and be honest with you and tell you he's not a great outfielder, not a great first baseman. But you know what he is? He's way better offensively than Dexter Fowler. And Dexter Fowler's not good out there either. That's the point.
Exactly. He's not. We're not talking about Mike Trout in center field either. We're talking about Dexter Fowler, who's an average player, right? He's average, let's be honest.
Right.
I want him to be way over average. I mean, I want him to be way above average because I want the Cardinals to win, of course. And we're not wishing him bad. But the real deal here, he's not above average in the outfield. So he's not way far behind. Ahead of Martinez in defense, but he's way far behind of Martinez in hitting and producing for the team and producing. You see what I'm saying? I don't know why people. I don't know. Oh no, yeah, the money is gonna be. Yeah, he gets so much money he got to play. Okay, he has to play because he makes more money. Then what you're doing is hurting your team. Think about it. Aren't we here to win the World Series?
Yeah, but
and
that
put the best outfield. I mean, not outfield. Put the best products out there that can help us win the game and win games.
But isn't,
that's what I hope that they're in for, right?
Isn't that one of the things though? The last manager got in trouble for, you know, giving a guy 200 and something at bats, and because he's supposed to be the starter, and then he doesn't play him anymore because he stunk, and now all of a sudden he doesn't believe in him, and you know it's hard because he doesn't believe in me. I mean, isn't that something he got in trouble for? So what does that mean for this year? If Colton Wong goes out and stinks, or Dexter Fowler goes out and stinks, that Mike Schilt's going to stick with his man, and he's going to stick with him even though he's like, how long is too long to stick with a guy that stinks? Because I heard that about Grichuk and Wong a couple years ago, and it was 2 months.
I know when it's too long, Jimbo. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
I know when it's too long. When Milwaukee is 6 games ahead of us, and the Cubs are 7.5 games ahead of us. That's way too long.
Well, how do those things happen? I'll tell you how they happen. Exactly what we just talked about.
Yep, and that's what fans need to realize, that the best product out there wins games, wins a lot of games. You know, why do you think Brett Sissel, they didn't put him on that situation against Yelich when we had a chance? We lost 4 games or 3 games with them. And then Yelich came up in a big situation in the 8th. We're still winning up by 1 in the 7, I'm sorry. We're still winning up by 1 with men on second base. And Yelich came in with 2 outs. Why do you think Cecil didn't came in? Because they didn't have the faith in him. They didn't bring him. No, we have to have somebody out there that get this guy out. Heck yeah, we have to. You know what I'm saying? So when you put the best product out there and you already start the season fighting against 2 teams that are really, really good, that's why we cannot afford to do that, Jim. But I've been saying it for a couple shows already, but it's true. We cannot, as a Cardinal fan, as a Cardinal organization, we cannot afford to lose 1 game. We got to win 162 games on the year, Jimbo, if we want to make it and win the division. We have to go out there to win 162 games. You hear me? That's the mentality we got to have if we want to go over those 2 teams and maybe more. So to do that, you have to have the best. You cannot afford to have Fowler start really slow, to have Wong slow, to have Carpenter slow. You cannot afford that. You cannot afford Ozuna starting slow, Molina, Yadi starting slow. You cannot afford any of those guys to start slow because we're going to find ourselves in a hole. That is just very simple, Jimbo. We're going to find ourselves in a hole. And that's what I'm trying to say by we have to put our best product out there and let's go, man. Let's go at it. But when you have to make the decisions on guys like that, it makes it really tough, man, and it's really long. And when it's too long, it's when we're behind 6 games on 2 teams. That's when it's too long.
Well, I just, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, a lot of question marks. But listen, everybody, I understand that nothing's guaranteed, right? There's a lot of things going on. I would feel better. I just would feel better with somebody I was much more confident that could bat in the top of the order. I just still think if you're not going to play Jose Martinez, I'm just still concerned with one more player. But, hey, listen, they're better.
But, look, the only thing that Carpenter does well in leadoff guy, obviously his number set, he's more productive, I think. But for me, watching him play, he's great getting on base. He's great getting on base, but – only by walks, Jimbo. Only by walks. You got to get on base. What getting on base means is getting on a double. Getting like he was on a tear. Remember when he was on a tear? That's getting on base too. But not only on walks and then having 4 months of struggle. He didn't get on base for almost 4 months. So not much, you know. So, and I'm picking up on Carpenter, but I really like Carpenter. I want him to be good. I'm just saying that examples that we cannot afford to do that. If we want to be a good team, a fighting team, a team that fights for the division, we cannot afford that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I think it's, you know, he had a bad 2 months. There's no doubt about it. The problem is he had it the first month of the year, which put us in a hole, and then he had it the last month of the year, which was, you know, when we were trying to make a push, and that's when you count on guys. And, you know, it kind of overshadows the others that were really good. To your point, and I know where you're going with this, if you start this season off in April, March and April basically, because that's the month, right? If you start this thing off and some of the guys that you're counting on can't do the job, you're going to be in big trouble. If everybody does their job and Colton Wong's the one that struggles, but he plays really good defensively, you can live with that. The problem is if he, or, and again, I'm not picking on Colton Wong, Harrison Bader, Paul DeJong, any of those guys that you're not 100% sure what you think you're going to get, if you don't get, if the other guys struggle, the Paul Goldschmidts, the Yadier Molinas, the Matt Carpenters, the Marcelo Zunas, if those four guys are struggling, you know, or even two of those four are really bad, like Carpenter was the first month of the season, that's going to be tough to overcome. It really is. So I like the fact that they went and got Paul Goldschmidt. I like the fact that they're going to have this lineup set the way it is with those guys. I'm excited about, you know, Ozuna coming back and being even more healthy and all that kind of stuff. I'm excited about all that stuff. Paul DeJong, a whole time removed from the hand surgery. I'm excited about all that stuff. But, man, it just wouldn't be an issue if what you said you needed, what you said you wanted, and what you said you can afford wasn't sitting right there with the price coming down. This, I wouldn't be having this conversation. I said 2 months ago, if they truly want $400 million, you know, 12 years, yeah, I can get it. I understand the Cardinals going, call me back when the price comes down. Guess what? Price is down. According to rumors, price is down. Like I said, in the end, we're going to know this. If one of those guys signs for substantially less years and less money than what was rumored, then it's going to be shame on them. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
It is, though. It is going to be a shame on them, Jimbo. I tell you, and I've been saying it, we cannot afford to have slow guys start. But I'm going to also tell you this. If we have a powerhouse bullpen, we can afford to have slow starts because we can compensate from the bullpen when we are having those 3-2 games or 3-1 games in the 7, 8, and 9. We can shut it down. Yeah, we can start slow on the hitting, but we have to have a powerhouse bullpen to have that, to make sure we have a slow start because the bullpen can hook us up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but no, I agree. I agree.
The bullpen, we are not going to make it. We're not going to make it.
Good stuff. I mean, I'm with you on that. Well, hey, listen, man, I'm excited about you coming into town. I know where I'm going to see you.
No, man.
We're going to do some stuff while you're here. I know. I know a lot of people have asked. Still trying to get clarification on what I can and can't do at the winter warm-up. I mean, I have an idea that I've been working on. The vendors work looking for clarification as to whether or not we can do a show from there at their booth, you know, stuff like that. So I don't really have any information to share yet, but pay attention to our social media, and I'll let you guys know as soon as I know kind of what our parameters are for what we can and can't do. So stay in touch with that. Obviously, my man Benji will be in town doing the Cardinal Caravan on Fridays and Saturday. It looks like, and I just looked it up. It looks like he's signing on Monday. You'll be signing, it looks like, with your brother. So you will be signing on Monday for sure. So that's going to be an exciting thing for you. I know, it should be a lot of fun, but I'm hoping, you know, we're hoping that, we can get a show in with you live while we're here, and pay attention to social media. We'll do
cool,
that.
Man.
Yeah. Be a lot of fun.
That'll be super cool.
Again, if you're not following us, make sure you do so. First off, say, you know, twobirdsonabat.com, subscribe to the show. You can actually connect with us through social media there as well. That is at Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us on Twitter. Facebook, simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you've liked our page. If you haven't yet, please click invite your friends. Invite all your friends to like our page as well. When you see the pinned post when they're up, all you got to do is look at it. You can tell if you've liked it, commented, and shared it. If you haven't, please do so. That gets you eligible for the wonderful prizes we've been giving out and sending to people throughout the offseason here. Compliments of everyone over at m4byyachty.com. We want to thank them for that. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us there. We'd be happy to have you. To our partners, can't do it without you. You heard me mention innovativecompanies.com earlier in the show with our wonderful friend Randy Green. Of course, the original party place, Patios, and Adam's Smokehouse, where I'll be at, meeting our friend Randy Green there tomorrow. I have to decide when I get there what I'm going to have, but with this snow, it's going to be good eating for sure. I'll be tweeting out some pictures of what I choose, but I know it'll be something good. And again, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays open till 7. Don't forget they are now in the zip code delivering. Like if you're in a certain zip code, you can get a delivery from them. And, of course, their catering is second to none. So stop in and say hi to Mike over at Adam's Smokehouse. Gators Baseball Academy, really cool stuff going on. Benji, I know our friend Josh Potter over there with the Gators is really trying hard to get you in there while you're here this weekend and do some hitting on their new hit tracks. That looks like a lot of fun. I think what we do is I think we get you in there with a bat and we get you to take some swings, and then we actually set it up so that you're at Busch Stadium, and then we find out how many home runs you would have hit at Busch Stadium, and then you can give your brother some static. How about that?
Oh, man, I would love to do that. We're going to have to find out first how many things I have to do.
Right.
And then after that, we can make some plans and we could do everything. Once I know exactly what to do, Jimbo.
Oh, I know.
What we're doing. I think it's gonna be better to know, you know?
For sure. It'd be fun though. I'd love to see you get over there and hop in the cage. I think the kids would get a kick out of it. And there is a leaderboard, all right, for adults. And I gotta say, once you get in there, you've gotta leave out of there with your name high up on that leaderboard, my friend. So we'll have to see how that goes. But again, they're training. It's the off season, guys. If you're looking to get better, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Learn more about it. Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and in the Academy, of course, for the prep players. Their four-pillar system is second to none. A lot of fun stuff going on over there. Check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. I want to thank all of our social media partners for all their continued support as well. It means so much to us. Mick Light, Art City Media, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, two of the biggest around for sure, and it matters when they help us. To all my friends over at Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, C24/7, I know there's so much going on over there now, but I still like all those guys, Gino Crash, Ron, I love what you guys are all doing. Chris Lawless, I know you've got so many different things going on over there right now. You guys have been sending out social media stuff all week. Just lots of changes happening over there. Good people involved. Again, check it out, guys. Second to none when it comes to Cardinal content for sure. Vicky and Linda with I Am a Cardinal Fan. Yes, I am. And, of course, one of our favorites, fans of Yachty or Molina, two of the better Facebook groups, of course. Want to thank them for their support. STL Cardinals, Cardinals Freak, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinals Country, all great Facebook groups. Guys, no shortage. Jump in, be part of the conversation, have some fun with it. Don't take it too serious, guys. It really breaks my heart when I see guys out there arguing and fighting and using nasty words. Let's just have fun. People are going to have different opinions. I know everybody doesn't agree with me. I don't agree with everybody. But we can at least keep it civil and just have some fun with the back and forth. Looking forward to seeing my friend Benji Molina. Thanks to m4byyachty.com. We'll see him this weekend. For anybody going over to the Cardinals winter warm-up, I hope to see you over there. Be safe in your travels. And if you're still here in St. Louis, be safe as well. I leave you guys until Cardinal winter warm-up. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.